of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Don't label us left or right.
We are American.
Not looking for a war, but we came to fight.
We are American.
Somebody's gotta stand up.
Stand up.
Somebody's gotta do what's right. We're rising cause we're fed up. Got our house in order and got yours inside.
Good morning, Sovereign Minds. Boy, we're having a discussion here and
almost forgot
to go on the air. So anyway, good morning. My name is Mark Kent. It's Saturday morning and today is November 2nd, 2013. And we'd like to thank all you people out there that support us and keep us on the air here. We are streaming worldwide. You can go to KCNR1460.com, but probably not find the website up.
Not right now.
So we're trying to get that up and running. You could call in during the, anytime during the program at 530-605-4567. And all of our shows are podcast and archive as well. Friend me on Facebook, Mark E. Kent. I'd like to let everybody know too out there, you know, we're a little different animal of a program here. You know, we're not just trying to get people to call in and give their opinions. And, what we're trying to do here is give you the news that nobody else will report. You know, we just don't want to repair it. You know, what's on Fox News like a lot of the other people are doing. If I wanted to get what Fox News had to say, I'd just watch Fox News. So what we're trying to do is give you information that most of the that you can't get out there from your regular ordinary news sources, whether it's the TV or
We're trying to give both sides of the issues.
Absolutely. So you know, it's just a different animal here, and it might take some people a little while to get through and figure out what we're doing. But that's kind of what the focus of the show is to, you know, get the opinions out there or the news stories that aren't being covered. Okay, my first quote is, just in the days of Noah, so it will be in the days of the Son of Man. People were eating, drinking, marrying, and being given away in marriage, up to the very day Noah entered the ark. Then the flood came and swept them all away. Luke 17:26-7. So, with that, do we have any veterans events?
Well, yes, we do, because this is November. We have, of course, Veterans Day coming up. We have the Veterans Day Parade in Shasta Lake City on the 9th. That's a Saturday, November 9th at 10 a.m. Also on Veterans Day out at the cemetery at 10:55, the ceremonies will begin to honor those out there. And at the tea party, we will be having at 6 p.m., we'll be having a potluck and a movie. I believe actually at 5 o'clock we'll be having a rally. And that's at the Destiny Fellowship at 2570 Bonneview.
Okay. Also, I guess next week we'll have Dan Johnson on from talking about the NDA. We've had him on the program here before. And he's a pretty sharp guy, real smart, and he knows a lot about the NDAA and he's from PANDA. That's the People Against the National Defense Authorization Act. Also, Brent Weaver announced his candidacy for Reading City Council yesterday, I guess it was. And so we'll be trying to get him on the show and figure out what his positions are so we can get a clear idea of what's going on. What else have we got here? There was something. Oh, yeah. On CBS on Sunday, there will be a story on the state of Jefferson, and that's going to go on CBS Sunday morning. I'm not sure what the times are on that, but DVR that on Sunday morning so you can watch it. Let's see. Here's something for everybody out there who's on the web and kind of paranoid. If you're not paranoid and you're on the web, you're probably not on the web. In light of NSA and all these other things that are going on, Mozilla has come out with a light beam tool that will expose who is looking over your shoulder on the web. Now, I have not check this thing out enough to know if it's good, but it might be something that we look into here, and anybody out there who's, you know, savvy, and let us know if it works, pretty well at all. Let's see. Next story is Russians goodie bags bugged. Now this is from the New York Post, and you know, evidently they just had that G20 summit not too long ago. And, you know, the title of this thing is, you know, Russia's goodie bags bugged, G20 delegates. So, you know, we talk about all the spying that we've been doing worldwide, and, you know, yep. Our president and chief has been, you know, getting a lot of heat for a lot of things here lately. This is just one more thing to pile on. But, you know, they're spies like us, I mean, is the thing. Is, you know, really, I mean, everybody's doing it. The Russians gave goodie bags with USB drives and phone chargers, but they were Trojan horses designed to download info and send it back to the motherland. This is like, you know, what the Kill Moose and Squirtle, you know, it's like Boris and Natasha. It's getting so bad.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, so the cloak and dagger spy game played out in a month's conference at St. Petersburg where, you know, Putin and Obama appeared to patch up their feud. Yeah. So on Friday, yesterday, Obama orders federal agencies. So evidently he's passed another executive order that on a Friday that slipping through the cracks,
yep,
here
that nobody knows about.
Yeah. You know, it's just amazing. Don't get me started on the mainstream media. Obama orders federal agencies to take a proactive approach to climate change through, this is the Huffington Post, you know, I mean, a very left-wing liberal thing, but at least they reported it. I didn't see it anyplace else. So that's another one of those issues that, you know, we're not seeing highlighted in the mainstream. It should be kind of important when Obama.
Yeah, I wonder if that was connected to the incident up there in Alaska with the miners.
I don't know. I don't know.
You know, they, federal agents came in and were shutting them down and stuff up there. The miners in Alaska, I saw something real quick. I'll have to see if I can get more info on that.
So he's created a new task force with the Democratic governors of all these various states, and the executive order also creates a second group, the Council on Climate Preparedness and Resilience. Jesus. You know, you can't make this stuff up. It just gets, you know, more and more and more government, more and more agencies.
Well, yeah, they added, 159 more agencies this last week or so?
I don't even know.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy already without adding more.
Right. It's just, these guys are out of control. Here's another one that we need to look into. Congress just played a trick on the American taxpayer. And this is the House passed a bill titled the Swaps Regulatory Improvement Act. And that would be, you know, that actually amended a section 716 on the Dodd-Frank bill. And let me see if I can get you the title of the act here. But it was passed on Wednesday, and it's under the Swaps and Regulatory Act. And it was voted in by the House, you know, like, what was it? I got it here, 200 and something to, let me find it here so you can know. But it was passed overwhelmingly. You might want to check to see if your congressman voted for it. Basically, what this does is gives the banks the power to bet your savings and deposits into the derivatives market. And, you know, interestingly enough, the one that was speaking out of it against it as all people is Sheila Jackson. And we know how, you know, yeah, there you have it. So it's, yeah, we got one more minute. Okay. So Congress, here's the next story. This is from Simon Black. Congress to eliminate the debt by not counting it anymore. Okay, this is the Debt Limit Reform Act. This is H.R. 3293, in case you want to look it up. So basically what they say is we're just not going to count a big chunk of the debt as a...
Yeah.
We're just not going to count it.
It's not part of the equation. It has nothing to do with this. What's the big deal?
Yeah. and the fact that $5 trillion of the $17 trillion debt is owed to intergovernmental agencies like Social Security and Medicare, Social Security and Medicare, they're just not going to count that anymore as part of the deficit because, well, I guess if you're on Social Security and they default, so what? It doesn't matter. So with that, we've got a guest from Cal Fire coming on. And next, I'm not sure, do you have his name?
His name is David Hsu.
David Hsu. And we'll be talking about the new fire fee. And we want you to also go to the website of firetaxprotest.org or calfirefee.com if you want to get the information on how to protest the tax.
Yeah, because people need to know that they need to keep appealing.
Yeah,
their fire tax, not just once.
Within the 30-day window of receiving the letters. So
right.
With that, I guess we'll go to a break.
All right. If you want to call in, the number here is 605-4567. This is KCNR 1460, Community Radio for the North State.
Hi, I'm Elizabeth Woodward.
And Aaron Ryan.
We'd like to have you join us on Sunday mornings from 8 to 10 a.m. on KCNR 1460 for We the People Talk Radio. We are all things fiscal responsibility, limited government, and adherence to the Constitution.
You know what? We've done programs on federal and state land use issues, governmental overreach, family values, behind the green mask, Second Amendment and other constitutional issues, technocracy and the smart grid, the monetary system, of course, spending, taxes, and debt, topics that fall under We the People. We want to know what topics you would like to hear about. Email Aaron at wethepeopleradio.us for more information. Bust on to wethepeopleradio.us and the archives are there for your listening pleasure.
We the People Radio, bringing to you topics that affect you no matter where you live. Come join the previously silent majority.
See you Sunday.
We the People, Sunday mornings 8 to 10 on AM 1460 KCNR.
For drug addicts and alcoholics, destroying yourself with drugs and alcohol isn't the wisest path, but you already realize that. Millions have found new lives, peace, joy, and self-acceptance on the other side of addiction. Since 1971, Empire Recovery has been setting people free through the 12 steps, serving 9 counties with residential and outpatient treatment and detox. Empire Recovery, 1237 California Street in Reading, 243-7470. That's 243-7470.
The Shasta Marines cordially invite you to the 238th birthday celebration of the United States Marine Corps to be conducted at the Event Center at the Wind River Casino on Sunday, November 10th, 2013. Guest speaker will be Colonel Dean Caswell, United States Marine Corps retired, a fighter pilot during World War II who flew with Colonel Jim Sweat, Medal of Honor recipient and formerly a resident of Reading. For additional information, contact Mike Gutierrez at 530-524-7595. Happy birthday, Marines, and Semper Fidelis.
I can't sail my yacht. He's taken everything I got. All I've got's this sunny afternoon. Save me, save me, save me from this squeeze. I got a big fat mama trying to break me.
We're back, Sovereign Mind Radio. I like that song.
Yeah, save me from the squeeze.
Yeah, that's right. Taxman got all my dough. I wanted to correct something on the swaps Regulatory Improvement Act. That was not Sheila Jackson that was involved in that. That was Maxine Waters, if that matters much to y'all out there. And the vote was 292 to 122, including 70 Democrats. So that ought to tell you who voted for that. And you might want to look that up and do a little homework on that. Now,
yeah, that could be pretty important.
I'm here in the studio with my sister Linda.
Good morning.
And we also have our soundboard operator and all-around great gal Savannah.
Good morning.
And also we have in the studio with us Jan Hanks, and she's Jan Hanks, all-around great person and a fire fee tax.
She's the fire fee tax lady.
She's the fire fee tax lady. And so let's get started with this, and we're going to be talking about the fire tax fee, and we have our caller on the line with us.
Yeah, that's David Hsu.
David Hsu, are you there, David?
Yes, I am. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing today, sir?
Great, thanks.
Good, good. Well, who wants to start this off? Anybody got any questions here for David?
I'd like to thank you for coming on with us this morning, Dave.
Oh, you're welcome. I appreciate you putting the offer out.
Very good, very good. Well, where should we start? Should we start talking about how this tax is illegal, or maybe we should start with you, Dave, and kind of give us your take on what you think about this tax and where we're going with it, and you know your position on the matter.
Well, maybe I could just give a little background to let you know who I am.
Sure.
I am David Hsu, and I'm a staff chief with the California Department of Forestry and Fire Protection, or CAL FIRE. And my current position is I am the program manager for the SRA fire prevention fee, and I work out of the State Fire Marshal's office in Sacramento. And basically my job is to oversee the program on a statewide basis. So I am involved in implementing the bill that was AB X 129, that was passed by the legislature in July of 2011. And so that bill enabled or directed basically the State Board of Forestry and Fire Protection to charge a fee to habitable structures in the state responsibility area throughout California to help with fire prevention efforts. And in a nutshell, that's basically what it is.
Well,
so my job is to essentially oversee that and look at ways that we can use that income and revenue coming in to improve things. And I have a lot of examples as to where that's going.
Okay. Well, let's before we get ahead of ourselves, I want to talk about you say that this was passed by the legislature as a fee. Now, isn't it really just a tax? And wouldn't it require then more of the legislature to have passed it for it to be a legal tax? And that's George Runner's position on this as well, is that it wasn't passed legitimately because, you know, we can put any nomenclature you want on something and call it anything you want, but isn't it really a tax?
Well, that's not my call. As you are well aware, there is a lawsuit against this with the Howard Jarvis Tax Group, and it is in the court system at the moment, and it will be up to the courts to make that determination. I'm not an attorney. I'm not an elected representative,
so
I don't have any authority to make a determination on that.
Right. Your job is to follow the law, basically, as it's given to you and enforce it. That's your position at this point.
That's correct. And
yeah.
I know that kind of comes across sounding a bit autocratic and things like that, but yes, that is my job.
Well, and we're not here to shoot the messenger here as much as we want to make sure that we're getting, you know, everything out on the table, legitimately telling everybody what the issues of and the truth is.
Right. So the legality of the law as it was enacted by the legislature is being challenged in the court system right now. And so it will be a determination by the courts as to how they see this and what direction it finally takes.
So what happens if they reverse it? Then you guys send all the money back? And
That's completely unknown. The courts have any number of different ways that they can deal with things like this. The Board of Equalization, whom George Runner is one of the five elected members of, the Board of Equalization is actually responsible for sending out the bills. As everybody knows, the bill comes from the Board of Equalization, and they mail their checks back to the Board of Equalization. So I work very closely with them, and they're, in discussions with them, past history in the state of California, when things like this have occurred, and there have been reversals and decisions made by the legislature, there's any number of options that have been employed to deal with what the future of those bills look like. So it's impossible to say at this point in time what direction that would go.
Interesting. Let's go ahead and start talking about where it's being spent. Now, isn't it just going into the general fund? This is supposed to be a fire suppression or prevention tax. Isn't it just going into the general fund and we don't have any control over how it's being spent?
No, in fact, that's not the case at all.
Okay.
It does not go to the general fund at all. As a fee, the bill, AB X 129, was very specific in allocating exactly how the money can be spent. So one of the things is that we follow the law very closely, and so we are only allowed to use the money in the way that the bill directs us as CAL FIRE to do so. So that is exactly what we are doing. We don't use it for, in fact, when you mentioned, isn't it being used for suppression efforts, the answer is no. The suppression efforts that the state uses is general fund, but this fee does not go into the general fund at all. It is funding prevention efforts on a statewide basis. And prevention efforts only. Now, there's a lot of levels to the prevention efforts that we're doing, but it is not being used for suppression efforts.
So when you say prevention efforts, you know, what kind of prevention efforts is it being used for?
Well, there's a whole host of different things that are being done. We have in the state of California prevention bureaus throughout the entire state. In CAL FIRE, we are divided up into 21 administrative units, and each one of those units has a prevention bureau. At this point in time, all of those bureaus, people who are mainly, a lot of them are law enforcement officials that go out and do fire investigations. They do cost recovery packages for recouping suppression costs when we can identify who the originator of the fire was. As you know, that has been in place for a very long time, is that the state has the authority, if we discover who is responsible for the start of the fire, the suppression costs can be charged to that individual or organization. And there have been countless millions of dollars that have been collected over the years that goes back to the general fund to replace money that was spent for suppression efforts of those fires. So all those investigators who are doing that work, excuse me, I'm fighting a bit of a cold.
I understand. I've had it for 3 weeks myself.
But I've got my coffee at hand here, so I'll do my best.
Good.
So all those prevention officers that are working around the state looking into wildfire investigations, arson investigations. There is actually a fairly significant increase in arson arrests that have occurred around the state. All of those functions are being paid for through the SRA program. There are defensible space inspections that are done, and we have people who have been doing them, and a lot of things are going to be coming on board. If you have to kind of understand the time frame of how this whole program has evolved. When the bill was passed in July of 2011, it was a brand new program, and so nothing existed to even make it function. So all the mechanics of putting the program together had to be put together, including the billing. The billing, the first year's bill for the 11-12 fiscal year, for the state, which goes from July 1st, 2011 till June 30th, 2012, those bills weren't even sent out till August of 2012. So we're about a year behind in collecting the fee. The fees that are currently on the table at this point are actually for the 12-13 fiscal year. So we're about a year behind, and we're collecting the fees about a year behind schedule. But so what I also ended up happening is that because we're restricted in how we can spend the money, we have to have the legislature appropriate how we can use the money. So we went to the legislature a year ago and offered up a proposal for what we call a BCP. It's a budget change proposal to actually use some of those dollars being collected in specific ways, to hire foresters to go out and look at vegetation management programs throughout the state, to hire more defensible space inspectors who will be going out and doing inspections throughout the state, to hire battalion chiefs and captains who will be going out and working with local government officials, land use planners, county building and planning departments, in how future land use issues look and trying to develop future development in the state in a more fire-safe manner. So all of those programs and all of those plans that are being done are just now being funded because that was appropriated just this fiscal year on July 1st of this year. So as that money begins to come in, we're just now starting into the hiring process to bring more of those people on board to do all of those things. Now, we have been doing some of them, and I have some great examples of some success stories of what has happened here around the state. But we are bringing more people on to go ahead and do more prevention work statewide.
Okay, with that, Dave, unfortunately we have to go to a break, and then we'll pick up on the other side.
Yeah, if we get you to hold on for the break, then.
Sure, I'll be here.
Okay, this is KCNR 1460, home of the Free Fire Media.
There's one for you, 19 for me. 'Cause I'm the tax man. Yeah, I'm the tax man. Should 5% appear too small? Be thankful I don't take it all. 'Cause I'm the tax man.
Hello, Shasta County. This is Kurt Largent from Sheldon Largent Realty, and these are difficult times in our economy. It's difficult times in real estate, and people have lots of questions. Should I sell? Am I upside down? What is a short sale? What's cash for keys? What do I do if my house is sold on the courthouse steps? For answers to these questions and many more, please tune in Saturday from 9 to 10 here on KCNR 1460 AM to the Kurt Largent Radio Show. We talk about all things real estate. Brought to you by Jeterbilt Construction, Megastar Mortgage, Trinity Pest Control, and Sheldon Largent Realty.
There's no great secret to selling cars. You just give people what they want. A fair price, excellent service, and treat them with respect. Don Boss was quoted a price on a Nissan Murano from a Sacramento dealer, and Crown met the price. Don says, I got a beautiful Nissan at the price I wanted and was treated well. When it comes to customer service, I give Crown a 10. It doesn't get any better than that. Thanks, Don. Come see us today or visit us online at crownmotorsreading.com.
It's a North State holiday tradition, the annual Reading Republican Women Federated Elegance of Christmas Tea, with a theme, a star-spangled event. Sunday, December 8th at Wind River Resort and Casino, beginning at noon. Sponsor a table or purchase individual tickets by calling 243-3724. That's 243-3724. Wear your holiday finery and enjoy a fashion show, music by the Lou White Band, and giveaways galore. Again, that's noon Sunday, December 8th at Wind River Resort and Casino for Elegance of Christmas Tea.
In the 40s, Reading Cab and Yellow Cab merged, and Reading Yellow Cab was born. A lot has changed since then. The town has more than tripled in size, and so have we. Through the decades, we have served Reading with generations of trustworthy drivers, family men and women, treating their customers with the respect and professionalism we would expect for our own families. When you need to get to or from the airport, to the train station perhaps, we're there for you. When you need a safe ride home, need to do some shopping, or want someone to shop for you, call Reading Yellow Cab at 222-1234, and we'll be there for you.
Well, we're not talking about the IRS here. We're talking about the state, but, you know, I'm thinking that's a pretty appropriate song here. You know, when we talk about all of this stuff, you know, our government here in, you know, the nation and the state is getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And a lot of these, taxes have already been paid, in other ways through property taxes and so forth. And, you know, you're talking about, Dave, a bit, you know, more and more bureaucracy here. You know, what's to stop this thing, the tax from being raised, and going farther and farther? And why, and I don't understand how it could be fair to do this, you know, by charging per building. You got, you know, one person who's a little old lady on a fixed income, and she just happens to buy a house with, you know, three or four outbuildings, and all of a sudden she owes $500 more. How can that be fair? Are you there, Dave?
Uh-oh.
Did we lose Dave? Are you there, Dave?
I think we might have lost Dave.
Dave.
It happens. We're having issues with everything in the studio this morning.
Yeah.
All right.
Hold on. Are you there,
Dave? He's just not coming through on the radio. Are you there, Dave?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, okay.
Did you hear what I just said?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Yes, and I'm keenly aware of all of those issues. That is an issue that's been brought to us statewide. And again, those are decisions that are only allowed to be answered through the elected officials who have the authority to discuss, you know, to make changes to those things.
Right.
In other words, this was the law that was passed, and I don't have any authority to just say, look, I don't like it personally, so I'm not going to follow that.
Well, do you don't like it personally?
No, I'm not going to state one way or the other.
Okay.
I will be come out front and say that I don't live in SRA. I live in a incorporated city.
Right.
And so I'm not subject to the fee. However, many, many members and employees of Cal Fire, a great number of employees in Cal Fire are, and they pay it. Now, a lot of the questions that you just asked fall straight back into those legal issues that are being discussed in the court system and things like that, and I just don't have any ability to respond to how they're going to judge that.
Right. No. Yeah, I'm not trying to put you in the hot seat as much as I'm just trying to say, you know, the other side of this position, you know, we're talking about the fire tax, but the other side of this is that, you know, we already pay taxes, we already pay some of the highest taxes, if not the highest income taxes in the country.
Right.
You know, so it's kind of disingenuous to, you know, just go along with this program willingly from my perspective, because, and again, I'm not killing the messenger here as much as I'm saying, hey, this is getting out of control here, and what's to stop it?
You're right. Well, and I understand that perspective. I'm very sympathetic to that, and I appreciate everybody's opinion on that. However, maybe I could put it in a little bit different perspective for you.
Okay.
And one of the ways is that I get the fact that the taxes that are being paid and so on and so forth are what they are. However, there is a cost involved with fires. Now, you look at California as a whole, and I don't think anybody out there would disagree with the reality that fire is as much a part of the natural landscape in California as air or water. It has been around forever, long before mankind ever came here, and it will continue to be there. In fact, we don't have the ability to completely eliminate fire from the natural environment. That will never happen. So with that being said, we have to accept the fact that fires will occur. Now, we, statistically speaking, as we look at where the trend is going, since we've been keeping records, and I'll say in modern California history, and that goes back to maybe, say, the mid to late 1800s, we have a record of the 20 largest, most devastating fires that have ever occurred in the modern history of California. And out of that list of 20 fires, more than half of them, 11 actually, have occurred all within the last 10 years.
Right.
Now, what that tells us is that our future is looking at more and more of these larger, devastating fires. Everybody's familiar with the Rim Fire that just occurred near Yosemite. At over 250,000 acres and a cost of $1.25 million, or I'm sorry, $125 million currently as the total cost for suppressing that fire, those kinds of costs involved with those large types of devastating wildfires, not to mention the impact to the timber industry and to tourism and all of those kind of things, are unsustainable for the long term. So the question comes back that if we see this as a natural trend where we are looking at a future where more and more large fires that are going to cost more and more money to put out are going to occur, then a different mindset has got to occur. And I think that we can agree the fact that just sitting back and recognizing that that is the norm these days, it's not okay to just sit back and say, well, But we've got one of the best firefighting resources in the entire world, and we're very good at fighting fires, and we'll just wait until they start, and we'll do our best at putting them out.
Well, here's another issue, though. I mean, you know, a lot of this has been due to mismanagement on the forestry level. I mean, we stopped logging, and then, you know, the ranching that's involved in here. And in the meantime, we're spending $80 billion on a high-speed rail. So I agree with you that there's a cost of suppression, but what you said, $125 million for, you know, the fire suppression on one fire. I'm not sure what the grand total is per year on fire suppression, but, you know, when we're over here saying that we need more and more and more and more money for fire suppression, at the same time, you know, we're going to spend $80 billion over here on a high-speed rail to nowhere, you know, it's kind of hard to justify that we keep raising and putting more and more money into this. Now, with that, we have a caller on the line, Terry, and I think he has a question for you, Dave.
Okay.
Are you there, Terry?
Are you there, Terry?
I'm here. Yeah. Good morning. You know, this is a pretty interesting situation you guys are talking about here. First of all, I haven't heard one single thing about this money going to one fireman, one new fire truck fighting fires. The prevention part, to me, is a little bit ambiguous in that we're going to hire more investigators to find out if some pyromaniac started these things. You know, the thinking about this really is that this is a tax and not a fee. The fact is that people have had three tax bills levying on them. The fact is that the State Board of Equalization feels this is unconstitutional. The fact is that California at this point, a little different than in November of 2011 when our state senator and another assemblyman from San Diego told us that California was $90 billion in debt. As we stand this morning, we're $419 billion in debt, almost $500 billion. And why didn't we need this fee 5 years ago? Why didn't we need this fee 2 years ago? We have this fee now. But again, isn't that money just being held at this point by the State Board of Equalization? It hasn't really gone anywhere yet because of the possible litigation?
No, that's not true. The money is being spent
on what?
To pay for... I'm sorry?
On what? I mean, you still... Specifically, what is the money being spent on? You've got... If Joe owns three pieces of property in Shingletown, California, he's been charged three bills of approximately $150 each. So you've already gotten approximately $1,200 out of this guy. Just one guy.
Right.
All right. And the other thing is, too, is that if it's a tax, shouldn't it be spread equally across the state? Or is this just a law being passed to get more money in a budget that's debt that's going up almost $5,000 a minute?
We're losing you, Terry. Go ahead and he's got some good points there, Dave. Can you answer them?
Sure. You're right in the fact that the fire the fee is not being used for suppression costs because that was not allowed in the bill. One of the factors that has to be kind of taken into account is that it's really difficult to quantify the value and savings that occurs spending this money, and it's almost, I'll use the word, a little bit invisible, and I'll give you a good example, and it's with the RIM fire. The RIM fire threatened the city, if everybody remembers this summer, one of the communities that was severely threatened was the city of Tuolumne City. And Tuolumne City, a couple of years ago, some of the fire engineering people and some of our people with CAL FIRE working with local government and local landowners identified a significant risk from the Stanislaus National Forest to that city. And they started working very diligently in putting some fuel breaks and fire breaks around that community. And those are well documented and identified in the fire planning portion that CAL FIRE contains. When the RIM fire started, those defensible spaces and fuel breaks that had been built were a significant advantage that allowed the firefighting forces to basically put a stop to the RIM fire and prevent any damage to the city of Tuolumne City. Now, had those fuel breaks not been put in place, if we'd spent no money putting those in place, what would have been the negative impact to Tuolumne City? And nobody can really say. You can say the worst-case scenario is that the entire town could have potentially been destroyed, and what would be the cost of that? So for some money expended to do fuel breaks to protect communities and individual properties and natural resources and things like that, there is going to be some money expended to do that, and that's what the fee is going to pay for.
Well, with that said, though, I mean, the people that are in the city limits, if this is protecting their property as well, shouldn't they have to pay this? Because kind of what we're doing here is we're working the little guys against the big guys. We got 38 million people in the state of California, and only 800,000 are subject to this tax. How can that possibly be justified across the board? I mean, we're all for fire suppression and prevention, you know, in the state, because, you know, who wants to have fires burning up the state? At the same time, you know, this, we're talking about this fire fee, you know, they're kind of, you know, putting, playing both sides against the middle here a little bit, on the numbers to, make sure that there's no repercussions from the general public against the fire tax fee.
No,
excuse
you're
me,
right.
Dave?
Yes.
Isn't it true that the, Rim Fire also threatened the water supply and the electric generation for the city of San Francisco?
Yes. Those are all very true, and the points you bring up are very real, and we all recognize those, but once again, I'll fall back on my...
Hold on, Dave. Hold that thought. I hate to cut you off, but we gotta go to a break, and we got Elizabeth on the phone when we come back, with
Good.
A question, so, sorry about that.
Okay,
no,
this is KCNR 1460, Community Radio for the North State.
Talk's cheap, it takes money to buy your freedom, and the tax man's knocking on your door. Stand there while you can, money's contraband, you can't take it with you when you go. Stand there while you can, before it's taken from your hand.
I know some people want me to bypass Congress and change the laws. On my own.
It is the agenda for the 21st century you're living in today. For a brave new world where everything that you cherished and held true will no longer exist.
Take off the tinfoil hat and put on the Kevlar.
Join me, Paul Preston, Monday through Fridays from 10 a.m. to noon for Agenda 21 Radio, right here on KCNR 1460 AM. And visit our website at agenda21radio.com.
Hey, football fans, Nate Abarea here. It's that time of the year. The helmets are strapped, the lights are on, and high school football is back on your radio. We'll be bringing you local gridiron action all season long with live game broadcasts from all around the North State. It's Friday Night Football right here on KCNR 1460, the pulse of Shasta County and Redding's new home for high school football.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
On here. Oh, there we are. We're back.
Are we playing Times Are Changing, or does that, we'll go out with that. Computer's frozen. Oh, well, there you have
it. Well, we got computer issues. We got phone issues. So there you go. Are you still with us, Dave?
Yes, I'm here.
Very good.
All right. And then we have a caller on the line. Elizabeth. Good morning, Elizabeth.
Good morning. I had a couple of questions for your guest, and I will take my answers off the line.
Okay.
My first question is, what is the justification for a retroactive fee? How do you go back in time and take money from people for past events due to poor planning on the part of the agencies? My second question is, from a moral standpoint, how can you justify collecting a fee from people who have lost their homes and don't have homes to live in? And I'm hoping that you won't pass the baton with the answers. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Elizabeth.
Thank you, Elizabeth. The first question is, as far as what I understand the retroactive fee, I think she may be referring to my statement, the fact that we're a year behind the fiscal year. But that is, the state often does that, is collects fees or taxes in arrear. And so because this was enacted on a specific date, it is, hate to say it, but a little bit of a catch-up game. So that is clearly allowed through the state budget and fiscal authority. The moral justification is very real. We recognize the fact, and if I could just state, because it might help kind of bleed into a number of other questions that callers are asking about, you know, the anger and the justification of why we're doing what we're doing. We recognize that there are advantages to making some language changes in the bill. I think when the bill was passed, there were some situations that were not identified and could be addressed in a better way. And recognizing those, we are working, you know, we do have the ability to go back to the legislature and help with them come up with amendments or reworded proposals on how the bill could be changed to accommodate some of those issues that have taken place out there. And we are interested in doing that. We're proposing some things that will come forward, but the fact is that, again, we don't have the ability to actually enact those. So, unfortunately, as the bill is written, we can recognize this, and without some kind of authorization from the legislature to alter the way the bill is enforced, we have to go through and deal with it as it is.
That sounds like that would apply to the second part of her question as well, because,
yes,
you know, we've got the Cloverdale fire up here that wiped out everybody out there in Happy Valley, and they don't even have a house anymore, and that's what the fee is based on, is my understanding. You know, is the fee suspended, you know, the day that their house burns down, or is it still, they're still on the hook to pay it?
That's one of those language elements, that one of those little details of the bill that was not written in. We don't have, there is no language to exempting anyone whose home is destroyed through the event of a natural disaster of some kind or anything like that. But we are looking at ways that we can maybe alter that and propose some amendments possibly. And we're hopeful that maybe we can work with the legislature in bringing some changes to that.
Okay, very good. I think Jan had a question here, too. Go ahead, Jan.
Well, one kind of question I had is, our Cal Fire firefighters, we really only need them, what, 6 to 9 months out of the year?
And you know, interesting. That used to be the case.
Okay.
However, we have seen active fire report. One of the things that you never hear about is that while these big fires like the Clover and the Rim Fire and things like that are going on, there is on average around 300 other fires that start every week throughout the state, yeah, in California, that you never hear about, because one of our goals in the with Cal Fire is that we our goal is to keep 95% of every fire that starts to less than 10 acres. And we actually achieve that goal and actually have a little bit higher percentage than that. So the reality is we do have a very effective firefighting force throughout the state, and we're very effective in mitigating most of the fires that occur. But as we all know, we can't stop every one of them. And so the reality is, with what we're seeing today, is that fire seasons are going later. We still have our firefighting forces on because throughout most of the state of California, there's been little, if any, rain, and the vegetation is still very dry, and we're still responding to wildland fires.
Okay, Dave, we actually have another caller. Dan, are you there?
Yeah.
Do you have a question or comment?
Yeah, Linda, this is Dan. Yeah, it'll be both.
Okay, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hello, Dave. How you doing?
Good, Dan. Thank you.
Yeah, it's interesting, your statistic about the 20 largest fires, and 11 of them have occurred in the last 10 years. And Mark touched on it a little bit. But it just seems to me that in the last 10 years, forest practice rules have gotten very strict, along with fish and game regulations and water quality regulations. And that two-thirds of the state is made up of a small landowner, and he's prevented from managing his timberland. So such that it overgrows, and he can't do anything about it. So to me, that would be where the solution would be versus dumping money into just putting the fires out when you can spend no money and manage the forest, and that prevents the fire. So anyway, I just wanted to mention that, so you can kind of look at it differently than saying that this is a natural occurrence and this is what we have to deal with. And you know, I disagree with that. But thanks for coming on the show.
I would agree with you and say that this fee, the money generated from this, is actually going to help do exactly what you're saying. There is an overarching goal of this, that one of the priorities that we have is to deal with land use issues, and that involves not only development, but also forest practice rules and things like that, and the very issues that you bring up. So we want to revisit all of those things and understand how we can better improve those to reduce the fire risk.
But it doesn't take money to do that. Yes, you can improve your exemptions a little bit, but those things don't do as much as if you were able to manage your land as you saw fit. And in the process, of course, you clear it and prevent or reduce the risk of fire. And that's the way it used to be. Like you said, we've had 20 fires since the 1800s, and 10 of them occurred in the last 10 years. So my direct correlation is if you know the history of what's happened with the forest practice rules and what the agencies are doing and how they're preventing the small landowner. I mean, they are preventing. I mean, the small landowner, I would say 50%, if not more, cannot harvest their trees because of the strict regulations and the cost of those regulations. So anyway, thanks again.
All right, Dan.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling in.
Very good. Yeah. Have we got any other questions for Mr. Hsu?
I'd just like to say that I think one benefit of this whole fire tax is maybe more focus on prevention. Now, we can discuss how we do it, who pays for it, and all of that, but I think fire prevention is cheaper than fighting fires and less devastating.
And I appreciate that comment because we know that that's true. Dollars spent, and I use the example of Tuolumne City, but we have numerous examples in the rural areas for people who are paying the fee, who've gone in cooperation with the Bureau of Land Management, for example, and federal and state lands, who've done vegetation clearance and shaded fuel breaks and things around their communities. That are we have numerous examples of these kinds of projects that are happening right now. Unfortunately, they're not enough. We've got a lot more examples of areas that need to be worked on. And yes, there's some money involved in putting those projects into place, but the money expended, as we all know, is going to be far less than what the suppression costs would be for a devastating wildfire that might take out homes and property and, unfortunately, sometimes even people. So that is our focus. That is the goal of this program, is to work hard at that. We recognize that it's not perfect. We'd like to see it become better, better worded through the legislature and things like that. But in the meantime, until they make any amendments, we want to go ahead and do the best job we can at trying to work in this prevention world and make it a safer environment for the people who live there.
Well, we really appreciate that, Dave. We appreciate you coming on, and we'd like to, you know, thank you for being our guest today. You know, maybe we can get you back at some point and get an update down the process. But unfortunately, we're about out of time, as usual. We never have enough time to do everything we want. How much time do we have left, Savannah? About a minute and a half, so we'd like to thank you, Dave, for coming on, and we'll talk to you soon at some point.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Have a good one.
Thank you, Dave.
Okay, very good. I wanted to mention that We the People tomorrow, 8 to 10, is going to have Dave Johnson on it. I'm not sure if he's going to be at the Tea Party next week or not. I've got conflicting stories here.
I thought he was going to be on Monday at the Tea Party,
no,
but I could be
Well, I'm seeing he's going to be on We the People tomorrow, so 8 to 10, so you guys might want to tune in and watch that.
Listen.
Yeah. listen, I guess you can tune in and listen to that on KCNR1460.com.
There you
8
go.
To 10, we the people. So anything else anybody's got?
No, just have a great week. Stay plugged into what's going on in the community and come back and listen to us next week.
There's no avoiding it. You better get involved. Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. It is force like, and force like fire is a dangerous servant and a fearful master.
This is KCNR 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
No, freedom isn't free. Neither is liberty. It ain't the protesters and politicians. It's the 19-year-olds on dangerous missions.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. There's no word yet on the condition of the gunman who was shot four times yesterday by police at Los Angeles International Airport after opening fire, killing a TSA agent. Los Angeles Mayor Eric Garcetti commented yesterday after the shooting.
A gunman opened fire in LAX's Terminal 3, killing a TSA agent, the first to die in the line of duty, and shooting two other people, at least one of which was a TSA agent. Additional individuals have had minor injuries and have been treated.
Officials say the suspected gunman, Paul Ciancia of Pennsville, New Jersey, had a lot of ammunition, as well as a note indicating a grudge against TSA agents and what he called pigs. In Boston today, Red Sox players and parade spectators singing God Bless America after some of the players place a World Series trophy on the Boston Marathon finish line.